Father, bless these words to our hearts and anoint our ears to hear. In Jesus' name. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14, the Word of God says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I press towards the mark of the prize for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. When God knew before the world began that you would become a believer in His perfect foreknowledge, He made a call, a plan, and a purpose, and He assigned it to your life. It is part of the finished work, but it is not apart from my willingness. There is a call that God has prepared for me, and it is up to me whether I walk in it or not. It is better for you to walk in it. Why? Because in the call of God, there is a provision, a promise. In the call of God, there is a plan and a life. In the call of God, this is where I get to know Him. It is a high calling. What does it mean that it's a high calling? That means it is a calling that is not according to the mind of a man. It is not a calling that is according to the ways of the world. And it is not a calling according to that which we can understand in and of ourselves. Why? Because God's ways are above our ways and His thoughts are above our thoughts. And we are called according to the ways of God. And our calling is in Christ. So our calling will always be something that brings us to our Savior. There will be something according to God's purposes. What are God's purposes? There's three of them for every believer. Get to know the Savior, equivalent to being conformed to His image. Second is to edify the body of Christ. Third is to win the lost. Those are every believer's purposes. The order is important. If I try to reverse the order, I'm going to find myself striving or somehow in another way in trouble. If I try to reverse the order, I'm going to try to walk in my call in the effort of my flesh. I can't do that. You never walk in your call in the effort of the flesh. You walk in your call by the quickening of the Holy Spirit. Now, we have a high calling of God. We have a calling according to God's ways. Now, in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, the Word of God says, Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race, that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. This passage is one of two things that tells us how to walk in our call. We press toward a mark. In other words, we set our face toward a mark, and that mark becomes our orientation. We press our face towards the purpose of being conformed to the image of Christ, of edifying the body, and of winning the lost. And as we do that, God steers us in the details of that call. We do not steer ourselves in the details of the call. God steers us in the details of the call. We simply respond to Him in faith. Sometimes it is we respond to Him in faith as we anticipate. Sometimes it is we respond to Him in faith as we have been given definition from the throne, and we respond in faith obedience. But either way, it is God's initiation and our response. Why? Because He is the author and the finisher. Faithful is He who called you in 1 Thessalonians 5:24, who will also do it. It's God who performs your call. You do not perform your call, you perform response. But He performs the call. The steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. The steps of the righteous are not ordered by the righteous. How many people say to themselves, I'm going to do this for God? That's not a good place to be. The question isn't, what am I going to do for God? The question is, what has God already done for me? And then how is that going to be revealed? That's the question. Many people say, what am I going to do for God? That is my call. What I am going to do for God. No, your call is what God is going to do for you. And how that will be revealed. He's already done it, but now He's going to reveal it. How is God going to bring you into the fullness of the promises? How is God going to bring you into the fullness of the plan? How is God going to bring you into the plan? Through the promises. Through definition from the throne, through definition from His Word, through the leading of the Holy Spirit. That's how He brings you into the fullness of the call. How does He keep you encouraged? Through the promises. Faith in what? Faith in promises, faith in God's character. Believing the Word. People frequently think that the Bible is a handbook for living. The Bible is not a handbook at all. The Bible is the mind of Christ. The Holy Spirit is who guides us in all truth in John 16. So we walk according to the Spirit, not according to the letter. Why? Because the Spirit gives life where the letter kills. Many believers think that walking with God means walking according to the letter of the Word of God. And they don't understand at that point why it is that there is a certain emptiness and a frustration and a striving and almost a hurt in the effort. And that is because they are trying to walk according to something that kills. I don't try to perform the Logos, I get to know the Logos. I don't try to perform that which kills, I receive that which gives life. What shall I render to God for all the things that He's done for me, the psalmist said. I will drink the cup of salvation. What will I give God? I will receive from Him. Why? Because that's the only thing God doesn't have. God has all things, but He needs someone to receive them. Because He already has them. So what shall I render God? What shall I give to God? The only thing that I can give to God. I will receive from Him. I will become a vessel that He may fill. I will become a vessel that He may do with whatever He chooses. And He has the right to do as He pleases because we have been purchased with a very extraordinarily high price. Peter said, it wasn't by merely silver or gold, but by the precious blood of the Lamb. Our life is not our own. We don't have the option in one sense. We do in one sense, and we don't in one sense. We do have a free volition, and that free volition can choose to respond to God or no. But if we want to walk in any kind of wisdom whatsoever, we have no options. The Spirit-filled believer never has options. The Spirit-filled believer has leading, a call, definition, promises, but no options. I have no choice as to whether I get up here on Sunday morning and as many mornings or evenings as God gives us and to share His Word. That's not my option. It's my pleasure, but it's not my option. Why? Because there is a calling involved. There is a will of God involved. Did I have to make it happen? No. As a matter of fact, it happened to me in the oddest of ways. Some of you know the story. Did I have to make it happen? No. I simply responded in faith and God makes things happen. By the way, as you respond in faith, respond also in faith rest. Knowing that He is faithful, and that He is for you. Knowing that whatever it is from Him, and He will be the one who calls you and does it. If you start to strive in your calling, then you know that you have entered into the realm of the old sin nature. There is no striving in the calling of God. There is faith response. There is faith obedience. But there is also faith rest. And so I do not strive. I simply wait on God as He makes things happen. The first thing that I need to do to walk in my calling is to lay aside every weight that so easily besets me. What are the weights that beset us? What is to beset you? To take you out of the way. That's what it means. It takes you out of the way. It burdens you. It weighs you down. It makes it difficult for you to continue. Lay aside those weights. What are those weights? Those are the same weights that Paul was carrying in Romans chapter 7, the dead man on his back. The old sin nature, the dead man on his back. Drop the dead man. Lay it aside. What does that mean? Lay aside things like insecurity or doubt or questioning of God's character, of His faithfulness. Lay aside the things that are not of God. Lay them aside. Lay aside fear and anxiety. Lay aside a wounded spirit. What does that mean? A wounded spirit is a spirit that is of the flesh, not of God. The soul gets wounded, the human spirit does not. Lay aside those things. How does a person become wounded? I can only become wounded if I am alive and on the throne. A dead man cannot be wounded. That's why Paul said, "Reckon yourself dead indeed unto self and alive unto Christ," because a dead man cannot become wounded. If I am wounded, I know that my orientation has gone wrong. So I adjust it. We all go there from time to time. Every one of us, me included, we all go there from time to time. But it's not a good place to be. Lay it aside. How do I lay aside an insecurity or a fear or a hurt or an anxiety? How do I lay that aside? Cast down every imagination and high thing that exalts itself, elevates itself above the knowledge, the doctrine of Christ. I cast it down. In other words, the thought of fear, the thought of anxiety, the thought of questioning God's character comes in. Will God be faithful? Won't He be faithful? The thought of unbelief comes in. I may not be able to control the fact that the thought comes, but I can control what I do with it. I cast it aside. I hurl it from me with a violent force, is what the original language describes. I hurl it from me with a violent force. If there is something that God has given, if there is a prayer request, if there is a leading, if there is a calling, if there is a promise, if there is something of God, and the thought comes in, is God going to do this? Am I able to do this? How will I bear up under it? All these kind of thoughts, we all get them as human beings. Take those thoughts, stop them where they are, and hurl them away from you. It takes a little bit of mental discipline, but you know what? It's good for you. Learn how to think. Learn how to think. Cast it aside. Cast it away from you. Lay aside every weight that so easily besets you. If you carry those weights, ultimately you will not be able to continue in your calling because the weights are too heavy and you were not meant to carry them. That's why it says, cast your burden unto Jesus. But isn't that what the song says? And they're right. Why are they right? Because come unto me, all ye that are heavy and heavy laden, tired and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What is the yoke? People picture a yoke for oxen. It's not a yoke for oxen. It's a yoke of a teacher and a pupil. That's why he says right after that, and learn of me. be a pupil regarding me. In the old days, in the times when this was written, a student would take this thing and put it on himself. And it would signify his position as a student, as a learner. So how do I learn? How do I take His yoke upon me? What is it that produces rest in me? When I learn the Word of God, it produces rest in me. Why? Because it teaches me how to think. It teaches me God's character. It teaches me His nature. It teaches me His faithfulness. It teaches me His love. It teaches me His promises. I rest because I have promises. I rest in the promises, and I rest because I have them. And I live in a quiet expectation and an anticipation, not in a striving, but in trusting God's faithfulness to do all that He has said. And if there is a situation for my life, there is a promise for that situation, and I rest in that promise. If there is a leading in my life, I rest in the leading. If there is a calling in my life, I rest in the calling. The leading and the calling are a form of promises. I rest in those things. I rest in them. I'll tell you one thing, you're not going to be able to think apart from the Word of God, and you're not going to have a life with God apart from His Word. Nothing to speak of. You might be born again, but that'll be it. Apart from God's Word, you have absolutely nothing. You may think you have something because you're deceived. Apart from God's Word, you have absolutely nothing. So what do you want in your life? I rest in His promises. I lay aside every weight that weighs me down. I cast those thoughts away from me. I hurl them away with a violent force. And I walk in His call. The second thing is, let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. I don't have to produce the call. I rest in it and I stay in it. I don't have to produce it. God calls me to something. I stay there. I don't start weighing my options. I don't say, okay, I've been here 3, 4, 5, 6, 10 years, and let me weigh my options now. Oh, maybe this would be more exciting. This place, this activity would be more exciting. Let me weigh my options. You know what? Spirit-filled believer has no options. The steps of the righteous are ordered not by the believer, but by the Lord. The spirit-filled believer has no options. My option is to follow Christ. My option is to get to know Him. My option is to do things His way. Because apart from doing His way, I have no life to speak of anyway. So what's the point? Well, it may not be so much fun. You don't know what you're talking about. This is coming right from the Holy Spirit. There are people in this very room who have not one clue what they are talking about. You think you have a life, but you don't have anything that even remotely resembles a life. You have nothing. Let God give you a life. Let God give you a life. What you have is want. And want is no life. You abide in the calling wherein you've been called. You don't waver in it. You abide in it. You don't start wondering what would it be like over there. You abide in it. Why? Because that is the place where your steps are ordered. That is the place where the provision for your life has been set. That is the place where God's going to feed you. That's the place where He will provide for you. That's the place where He will add people and things unto you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things are added unto you. That's the place where it happens. It happens in your calling. What if you don't know your call? I got news for you. you know at least a part of it. No, I really don't know what I'm called to do. You know why? Because you're not sure what the future brings. You're wondering about future. Future and call are not equivalent. Take no thought for tomorrow, Jesus said. Don't worry about future. Worry about call. Call is what God, where God has me now in His perfect will, expressing the portion of Himself that He gave me to express. There is a call. By the way, there is no such thing as being in the call of God apart from being in the geographical will of God. I cannot be in the calling of God. I cannot be in the perfect will of God if I'm not in His geographical will. It's very important, for example, where a person goes to church. I'm not saying that one church is good and one church is bad necessarily. What I am saying is that every joint in the body of Christ supplies, and there is a portion of the body of Christ where my joint is meant to supply. And that's where I am called to. It may be a pretty place, it may be an ugly place, it doesn't make a hill of beans a difference. I'll never forget the testimony of one woman who lived in an Islamic country. She was saved and called into the place where she was saved. She was slaved, but she lived in a garbage dump. And she lived there because it was the only place where she could keep warm. Because garbage, as it rots, produces heat. And there were actually hundreds of people who lived in that same garbage dump. She became a born-again believer and suffered unbelievable torment from the other Muslims who hated her for being a born-again believer. And she prayed, God, will you take me out of here? And God says, no, I have called you to this place. And she started collecting garbage, leftover food that people have thrown away. And she started making soup, and everybody there was hungry. And she started feeding some of the kids in the garbage dump with this soup. And some of those kids started to get saved. And some of the parents started to get saved because of their children, because this woman suffered the ravages that she suffered and stayed in her calling in the garbage dump. Hundreds of Muslims became born-again believers because of this woman's call. She abided in the calling wherein she was called. And God moved. And it didn't matter that it was a garbage dump. It was the call of God. This life is not the end all. This life is just the very beginning. A lot of people live for this life like it is the end all. It is not the end all. This life is a vapor. It will be gone before you know it. It is a threshold. It is a preparation room. And that is all that it is. Your eternity is going to be based on how did you respond to God in this life. You will be gone tomorrow. Every single person here. I don't care if you are Adam, who lived over 900 years, the day came when he went home to be with God. The day will come when we go home to be with God. And this life is all we had to prepare for eternity. Some people will go to heaven, some people will not. But wherever they go, it will be for all eternity. Make up your mind what you want. Can you imagine? This is how people are. An analogy. Can you imagine if somebody offers you $100 million in exchange for a nickel? You know what people do? They say, I want my nickel. That's what they do. My nickel is pretty. I like my nickel. It's a fun nickel. I enjoy this nickel. This nickel is good. I'm going to keep my nickel. This nickel is my portion. Fine, then keep your nickel. But God's offering $100 million. An analogy. This is what people do. I want my nickel. Keep your nickel. It's not going to take you anywhere, but keep your nickel. The only way to have a life with God is to have a life with God. The only way to have a life that's worth anything at all is to have a life with God. I'll never forget, I saw an interview one time with Sylvester Stallone. He said all his life he spent clawing his way to the top, and he finally got there. And when he did get to the top, he looked around and he found there was nothing there. This is what the world is like. This is why you get these Hollywood types who are getting into drugs and immorality and 10 wives every 3 years. Why? Because they get to the top and there's nothing there. They found no portion in this world. You know why? Because this world offers none. Abide in the calling wherein you have been called. Lay aside every weight and be faithful to your calling. Amen.